It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we hear from a student who met with UW System President Ray Cross to talk about the state of diversity and inclusion at the UW.
First, a new report out from the American Lung Association finds some mixed news when it comes to the state of tobacco control in Wisconsin. While the state gets high marks when it comes to tobacco taxes and smoke-free air, Wisconsin gets failing grades when it came to tobacco prevention and cessation funding, as well as access to cessation services.
In addition, the report finds a high level of youth use of tobacco products other than cigarettes. And health experts say that threatens to undermine the overall progress in the fight against tobacco-caused death and disease.
Here with us now to talk more about the state of tobacco use in 2016 in Wisconsin is Donna Wininski, Director of Tobacco Control and Public Policy at the American Lung Association in Wisconsin. Donna, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
So overall, how would you say Wisconsin is doing when it comes to controlling the use of cigarettes and tobacco products?
Well, I think you summed it up pretty well in your introduction. We're doing very well on a couple of fronts. We have one of the strongest smoke-free air laws. It protects anybody in any workplace, and when we passed our law, we actually extended it to the next level and included hotels and accommodations like that. So that's a very good law. We do have a relatively high cigarette tax. So when I say relatively, I mean in terms of compared to other states, which is why we get a B grade for that. And the reason that a high cigarette tax is important is because it raises the price of cigarettes. And especially with kids, we find that they tend to be price sensitive. And if they cost too much, they may think twice about whether they want to buy them or not. In the other two areas, however, we are receiving failing grades, and those are in the amount that we invest in tobacco prevention and cessation programs, things to prevent the next generation of kids from smoking and things to help the current population of smokers to be successful in their quit attempts. It can be very difficult, and it often takes several attempts to quit smoking, and we have to make sure those resources are there for people to be successful.
Has this been a change from the past, this letter F?
Those have been pretty consistently F grades, and they are pretty much linked to the funding levels that are attached to them. The Centers for Disease Control recommends that states spend somewhere in the ballpark of $10 to $11 per smoker to adequately provide them with the resources that they need to quit. Our rate here in Wisconsin is somewhere around $1 or $2, so you can see it's very, very low in terms of what we should be spending. And the problem with that is that they are not able to call the quit line as often as they need to. The quit line is the main free resource here in Wisconsin, and they can only really provide one phone call. They can still provide the 2 weeks of nicotine replacement coverage. But there's just a lot that they can't do. In fact, the quit line doesn't advertise very often simply because they can't handle the volume of calls.
So what do you ascribe that control, that funding shortfall to? Is it to do with the state budget, or is there something else going on?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the state budget. Many years ago, we did still have revenues coming in from the state, from the tobacco settlement, and under Governor McCallum, those revenues were cut off because they were securitized to fill a one-time budget gap. So every 2 years, we have to go back to the state legislature and protect the funding and ask for them to renew the program and just hang on to the funding that we do have. The program has been cut several times over the last few years, and we just are at the point where we're trying to maintain what we have. There is a certain amount of belief within some members of the legislature that the job is done, that we have a good, strong smoke-free air law now, that cigarette smoking rates are going down, and that attention really needs to be directed to other more pressing needs. And that's where our report comes to, because cigarette smoking rates are down. But what is alarming is it's almost like playing whack-a-mole here in Wisconsin, that as fast as we get a handle on one particular product, the tobacco industry comes up with something equally as deadly, and we're seeing the kids gravitate to those products.
Let's talk more about that right now as we talk with Donna Wininski, Director of Tobacco Control and Public Policy at the American Lung Association in Wisconsin. She joined us to talk about how the state of tobacco usage is doing in 2016 here in Wisconsin. And Donna, you said game of whack-a-mole here, that maybe cigarettes are in decline, but alternative things like e-cigarettes are spiking up. What's going on there?
E-cigarettes and little cigars. Little cigars are a big problem because they're virtually identical to cigarettes. They're about the same size, have about the same amount of tobacco. The only difference is that they're wrapped in a slightly different kind of paper that allows them to qualify as cigars instead of cigarettes. So all of the federal regulations about selling them by clerks, that they have to be behind the counter, that apply to cigarettes, don't apply to those products. There are federal regulations against flavoring cigarettes. Those don't apply to little cigars. And the cigarette tax in Wisconsin is considerably higher than the tax on cigars. So you really have this almost this three-way bit of bad news. They're lower priced. They come in candy and fruit flavors, chocolate, strawberry, grape-flavored cigars. They're less expensive. They're more easily accessible because they don't have to be behind the counter. And while we see the cigarette smoking rates go down, what we've actually seen is rates of those types of products go up accordingly. In fact, by now, they're almost double what cigarette smoking rates are.
There isn't absolute consensus about the health dangers or safety of things like e-cigarettes, hookahs. I don't know about little cigars, but I know we've talked a lot about e-cigarettes on this program. And not everybody agrees that these are harmful. So are you equating, you're obviously looking at these as something that is sort of a danger. Are you at the point where you're looking at an e-cigarette kind of like a cigarette?
Well, e-cigarettes are in a little bit more of a category by themselves just because they don't burn tobacco. Certainly, little cigars and hookah are just as dangerous as smoking cigarettes, and again, for a lot of the same reasons that I've outlined. But even e-cigarettes, the argument that we hear quite often is, well, they're safer than smoking cigarettes. And if you think about it, that's really a pretty low bar to set because pretty much anything is safer than smoking a cigarette. What we do know, we don't have long-term health impacts, but we do have some more short-term health impacts. We do have scientific research showing that there are some pretty nasty chemicals in the flavorings of e-cigarettes. One is called diacetyl. The other is a very long chemical name, and our own Marquette University here in Wisconsin did a study of six of the most common e-cigarette flavorings and found high levels of these chemicals that we do know cause irreparable lung damage. So it is more than just the water vapor that the e-cigarette industry wants you to believe.
Are you also looking at e-cigarettes as sort of a gateway to regular cigarettes, or are you just worried about them as a problem, a potential health risk in and of themselves?
Yeah, it's both, because that's actually some of the more recent research we've seen as well, too, that kids who have never touched a regular cigarette, kids who have never even considered touching a regular cigarette because they have been indoctrinated into the dangers of that, they are experimenting with e-cigarettes because they have kind of bought into that industry rhetoric that they're safer. They're just nothing more than water vapor. So we do see a lot of kids that are starting to use those, and they can be gateway drugs to other types of tobacco products. We are starting to see some research going out on that. And even the people who claim that e-cigarettes have helped them quit smoking, we find that just as often they may be cutting back, but they aren't necessarily quitting entirely. And what's happening more often than not is that they're dual using. They're smoking cigarettes some of the time, but then they're using e-cigarettes other times where smoking regular cigarettes isn't allowed. So they're still getting the nicotine, they're still getting the tars and all of the other toxins that are in cigarettes, they're still getting the chemicals that are in the flavorings of the e-cigarettes, maybe in varying quantities.
So the point of a report like this is to raise awareness of successes and challenge areas. What is the takeaway here for policymakers?
Well, the takeaway for policymakers is that let's not rest on the laurels. We have made some remarkable progress on the tobacco control front, and the numbers bear it out. When you look at only about 10% of high schoolers are now smoking regular cigarettes compared with over 30% a decade ago, that's unquestionably good news. And if that's where it ended, I think we would be a lot happier than we are now. But when you look at some of these new products that have come out only over the past 5 or at the most 10 years, and how the kids are really gravitating towards them, clearly we need to be doing more towards changing some of the policies, at least those that make them so accessible, price accessible, accessible in terms of just being able to walk into a convenience store and seeing these pretty brightly packaged things lined up next to the candy racks, for example. I mean, we've come a long way with cigarettes, and now we need to play a little catch-up with some of these other products.
Donna, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for the time.
That was Donna Wininski, Director of Tobacco Control and Public Policy at the American Lung Association in Wisconsin. She joined us there to talk about the state of tobacco usage in 2016 and what Wisconsin could be doing better.